Okay, if I can ask for your attention, we have another talk coming up. It's for, by Razvan, who is somebody who also does not need a lot of introduction. He's the enfant terrible of unikernels. And his talk is about the fact that unikernels are here. The stage is yours.
Alrighty, thank you so much. Right. Hi everyone, I'm Razvan, I'm from the Unicraft project, also part of FOSDEM last year. Our Unikernel projects are now part of what we call the Unikernel Alliance, so Andrea, Valdek, Jonathan, Martin and the others are kind of the, in this umbrella term. So my talk is going to be about Unikernels finally being here. I saw you saw a bit of highlights from Andrea given her talks, you're going to see more about that here. Let's get started. So I'm talking about application workflows. Typically we think about, let's call them consumers and producers of software, right? The first workflow is for people producing software. The second one is for people using software. If I were to make an analogy to Andrea's presentation, what she was talking about were actually, it was actually users that, I mean, people that produce software. People that produce software don't care about the underlying things. They don't care about operating system specifics, about hardware, they just want it to work. Well, so do we. Users as well, right? Imagine that what you do is you're going to build the application, get the package, push it, or then you do something like apt install or that pulls it and unpacks it. You have typically a software package. If you imagine a dev or RPM, that's kind of it. However, these have glitches, and anyone who has done some sort of development work, or even worse, sorry Gabby about that, doing DevOps work. Yeah, there are nasty jobs out there, even nastier than kernel development. You're going to bump into issues. Issues such as that runs there, that doesn't run over here. I'm using Dev, you're using Fedora. You don't have those packages being compiled. Dependency cell, I can't tell you about that. Anyone who in their right mind had to deal with OpenSSL and OpenSSL 1.0, 3.0, 3.1, all those versions knows about that. Also, when you run a piece of software, that's generally not isolated. If there's a glitch with that, that will affect others, supply software chain attacks, all those items. So what do we do about that? Well, generally what people have been doing nowadays is using VMs and containers. And these are trying to tackle those issues, right? So you want to have containers and VM because you're going to be able to run them anywhere, everywhere. If you're using Docker, even if it's behind the scenes using Hyper-V or something, you're going to be able to run that particular image on Windows, on Mac, on different Windows, on different Linux distros, sorry for that, all of those items. There are no dependency issues. You have your VM configuration, Vagrant file, craft file, you name it. You're going to know that's going to work. I'm not going to lie, I need this particular version of Node, or out of the 10,000 millions or gazillions libraries that Node has, I need to have the proper versions. No, you just grab that and it works. And also they provide isolation, right? Which is very important. You want to make sure they are only using what you require that may also impact the memory footprint and they are isolated from each other. Of course, each of these two approaches has their issues. So let's talk about VMs. VMs have very good two items. And they also mentioned, I'm going to marry you next then because of the frequent mentioning. Mentioned about resource control. This is a very important feature of VMs. You are able to allocate CPUs, memory, hard disk, you name it. Also, if you have good isolation. For sure, there are attacks out there, hypervisor attacks, VM escapes, but they are not so common as container escapes. However, they have overhead. You need a lot of time to start the VM, boot it up. We talked about cold boots. You have a large memory size, and it's also quite difficult to create recipes, particularly when you compare it to containers. I know we have Vagrant files, but even with that, it's not that easy. On the other hand, we have containers. Containers tend to compensate the disadvantage of virtual machines. So we have recipes, we have Docker files, everything is there, you just run it, and you just grab it, it runs everywhere. You have registries of application, Docker Hub, Google Container Registry, right? You just do a Docker pull, something, it works. Docker run, you pass the name, it works. You have tooling with Docker, with Podman. You have good performance, you don't have that much overhead as you have with VMs. Also, Andrea showed what comparisons between unikernels and containers. But There are isolation issues. There are a bunch of container-based attacks out there. You don't have, you are sharing the same kernel. If the kernel gets screwed, then that's over. And you have imperfect risk control. We know we have C groups, but it's not that level you have with the virtual machines for sure. So what we want is we want a blend of those. And that blend is getting good isolation, good resource control, recipes, registries. We want tooling. We got good performance. That means that in the end, if I'm an application developer, I want all of this. I want just to deploy my application, and then users are going to just benefit. They're going to be able to run quick, fast booting, well isolated, high performant, pre-built application packages. And in our opinion, that solution is using unikernels that has this combination of items here. So this is, this is a VM, it's a continuous unikernel, so kind of blend of this. My talk is mostly focused on Unicraft, as I mentioned, part of Unikernel Alliance. So basically what we want is this. Let's just take a tour of the items I just mentioned here as we want and see how we can achieve it. So because unikernels are virtual machines, the advantages of virtual machines